on Iron Bay's Omer Aleph, 10 line, 9 lines from the bottom. Most of the Bibi Bar Bio. Okay, so the Gemara talked about, the Mishnah talked about the case of Baba Mahteras, the person is breaking into a house to enter, where you can kill him. Because, as Gemara said, the person is not going to hold himself back, he knows he's going to try to save his money, so the Ganav knows he's ready to kill, so therefore he's a Roger. We started talking about that Rao says that if the guy took Kalim when he volunteered, he took Kalim and left. He'd be potter from the turning those Kalim away from them because the natural phenomenon, he was turning them at the cost of his own life. The robber disagrees partially with that. The robber says, I can agree with that if he broke them. The Kalim themselves don't actually exist anymore. But I disagree if the Kalim themselves actually exist, that we should say he should not be returned. Within Rava, by the way, there's my first concern. Rashi, he learned that Rava would say that Rava would say he's hired to pay, and Rava would say he's potter, whether he broke the Kalim in right there in the Maseret while he's breaking and entering, or even afterwards. He took them out intact and later on broke them. Rashi holds that way, the Balamara holds that way, but Amban disagrees with that and says that even Rav is only going to capture him, if he did it by Maseret, during the time when he's still inside the Napsha, during the time that the Balabas met up with him, he could kill him. But once he leaves, with the thing intact, if he would break it afterwards, sure, he'd be fine. Okay. Well, there's no question. Everybody would agree. Even Rav would say to take care of the fact that the Eidishman is going to punish him. He should give it back. Rav would say you can't obligate the Jew. Rav would say you can if the thing is still intact. The halacha, by the way, is like pretty much all the posts can pass against Rav. So again, if the thing is still intact, you definitely have to return it. If he broke it, then it would depend on that before that you're showing him whether he broke it in the Masteres or he broke it later on. Right. Most of it would be Bibi Babai. So the Bibi Babai says I have to have a stira to run. A Braisa says, I'm going to kiss for Shabbos. If somebody steals a wallet on Shabbos, chayev, it's chayev to pay for it. You don't say, come with a job of Gneva. Chayev is chayev. But Gneva occurred to him the other day, Isser Shabbos, because he became chayev in Gneva. He became obligated to return it before he ever became the Isser Shabbos. The Isser Shabbos is only when he's moitzim the Rishos Lushos. The Gneva, as soon as he picks it up, he becomes chayev in anything that happens there. So therefore, it's not come with a job. He's already chayev to pay before he came to the Isser Mitzvah. On the other hand, if he was dragging out the wallet and going out with it, then he's potter. Because then the time when he takes it out of the other person's resource, which is the point at which he becomes, at which he's koneh it, and or he becomes chayav and oinsin for it, and the point at which he's mechal Shabbos happen at the same time. So then it is common. So Rashi talks about over here that based on the Gemara in Suvas discusses this issue. And says that it would have to be that he held his hand within three tefachim of the ground and put it into his hand. So beside the dinim of Shabbos, considered he put it down on a place 4x4, so therefore it's chayav. Beside the dinim of Gneva, though, beside the dinim of Gneva, only when he took it out of the other of the reshus did it the other guy's reshus did it become an Israel.
It has a lower than
No, well, that's a different matter. The usual way of making a kinyan, but the point is, as Gemara talks about in Shabbos, the idea yada shal adam chashuv alei ka'av alav. A person's hand is considered as chashuv to him in the space 4x4, so therefore, if it's within three tefachim of the ground, then already considered he put it in rishus
ha'yachid. What's the way he's dragging the wallet?
Let's say because it's a heavy, it's considered not a wallet, considered a money bag. It's a heavy money bag, let's say, for whatever reason. Okay. The question is, the question is, according to Rava, you're saying that if the money or whatever it is still exists, he's chayav to return it. So even if there was an issa missa afterwards, you still want to chayav him. According to Rava, you should be potter. The same logic. According to Rava, you're saying that you're saying he's chayav to pay because the thing still exists. But from this braisa, it comes out that as long as you can find a case of kum levi d'rabbi, where you're dragging it out, he'll be potter. So why is that?
our case, he's stealing.
In both cases, he's stealing. In the Fascist, the case of Holly Magara Vioti can also be that he broke in, it doesn't matter. And the Bereiser didn't make that distinction. And was saying that he's Potter if he was dragging it, because some labor did happen, because then Isser's neighbor and Isser Shabbos come at the same time, according to Rava, so what? The fact is, the money still exists, he should have to return it. Mela, if the money was lost or whatever, okay, then you could say that Rava would agree that in that case, you can't make him pay out of his own pocket. So therefore, the halacha is, we have to say, what is the case he's potter? The shadanahu benara. The case would have to be if he threw them in the river. Where therefore, the money, threw the money into the river, so therefore it's not available anymore. Now, according to the Shita of Rashi and the Baal Amara, that we're talking about over here, regardless when it was lost or broken or whatever, you're going to potter him, then according to Rava, then fine, this works out. According to the Ramban, that only if he broke it while he was there in the Machzera, so how does this work? So the Ramban says maybe Shadana Benara means somebody else threw it in the river. Maybe it means that like he had his hand. The Ramban says maybe he had his hand sort of on a slant and it kind of like slid into his hand and slid right into the river. So it was never like a complete, like it's still all part of the same act. Yeah, and then the Orsa Meach talks about another possibility that if it's in the river, it's not considered that it's lost. It's still there. All you have to do is hire a diver to go down and dive for it. Gemara talks about such a concept in Rav Kama. So therefore, it's not considered that he broke it at all. You could consider it's still the aim, it still exists, and therefore Rava would say that, so it's not a question of breaking it or not. It's still there, and therefore, yeah. Okay. Rava ibnavala dichri b'machtar. So one time Rava had some rams stolen from him by a machtarek, by a ganav who broke it. Adrinu nilay. Later on, the ganav did not want to return the rams to him. V'loy kablinu, and Rava did not accept them. Omer, he said, "Hoyu nafik mekumer derav." Since Rav said that the ganav is potter regardless whether the thing is still ba'ein or not, even though I disagree with Rav on that, and Allah Taka is like Rava. And nevertheless, because Rav said that, I'm going to be machmir myself and not take it back.
What's about being Yosef Mishmar?
Tosfos asked that question. Tosfos answers that one. Tosfos gives an answer. The case over here is the Ganovim was saying if we're required al-pidin to return it, then fine, we'll return it. But if it's only Lotus Yidei Shemayim, we're not interested. So Rav is saying, okay, in that case, if you only want to do it Lotus Yidei Shemayim, I'm going to be machmir on myself like Rav, that you taka or potter. So therefore, I don't need you. No, the halacha is taka like Rav. The halacha is if the thing is ba'ein, you do have to return it.
Sure.
So the Ganavim would have had to return it. But Rav was machmir on himself because this is what Rav said, even though he himself disagrees with the Svara.
But you have to,
you can be machmir on himself. Again, and Tosis is making the point that if they're saying the only reason to return it would be lost to Yidei Shemayim, then we can't be bothered. Fine, you don't want to be lost to Yidei Shemayim, not my problem. Videi Adam, I'm not going
to. Sound like he was coming back to return it. I guess
He thought he's required Videi Adam. So Rava is saying, technically, I'll be Allah, that's true. But since Rav said that you're not, then I'm not going to take it. We learned back in Baba Kama, by the way, and Baba Basra, by the way, we had the story over there of Isser Giyora at 12,000 Zuzim, where he wanted his son Ramadi to inherit them, but Ramadi was Herod Shalom Bikdusha, Viladosa Bikdusha, so he's not considered his father's son, La'alacha. And we had Rava is figuring out various ways, various bases, why he shouldn't have to give the money to Ramadi. So we talked about then he was conceived when his father was still a goy. He was born after his father became a yid already, and therefore Lahamacha is not considered the father's son. You don't have to. So Rava is finding various ways that how can Yisrael have been machna that to Ramari? He can't have, and therefore I should be entitled to keep it. So one of the Acharonim says on that, don't think Rava was just, he wanted to keep the money for himself. It's even the story that Daf made Machmer on himself when it comes to the Din Mamonis. No, it's an actual question of halacha. Was there a valid kinyan or not? And if not, is there something better that can be done with the money? We talked about over there actually an explanation, as I mentioned, that Rava fully intended to return it, but he wanted to have the mitzvah of doing it voluntarily as opposed to that should be required by halacha. When one of his talmidim pointed out you're actually required by halacha to, then Rava was disappointed, you took the mitzvah away from me. Okay.
Ishmael part could have been fulfilled.
Fine, but the point is he wanted to do it purely because he has to. Purely as a matter of tzedakah, whereas now he's required to. I'll be a law for you. Okay. Turn it up. The pasuk says, "Ein loy domim imzar ha'shem ashalo." The pasuk says like this: "Machteres imotzei aganav." You find the ganav in tunneling into the house, hook of a mace, and he strikes him and kills him. Ein loy domim. Then there's no blood deal for him. You're not chayv mitzvah for him. The pasuk then continues, "Imzar ha'shem." Next pasuk: "Imzar ha'shem ashalo." If the sun shines on him, which means as the gemara is going to say, clear that
well,
not yet. Then domim loy. Then there's domim. Here this first brayse is going to darshan the words in Zorcha Shemesh Olav as referring back to the case Ein Lo Domim, as referring to the previous pasuk that you're allowed to kill him. So if Ein Lo Domim in Zorcha Shemesh Olav, so the question is, okay, Shemesh Olav go lav Zorcha, what does the sun shine only on him? What's the point of mentioning in Zorcha Shemesh Olav? El in Boru Locha Adavat Shemesh Ein Lo Shalomimcha. It means if it's as clear to you as daylight, as the sunlight, that he is not at peace with you and that he's ready to kill Hargeru, then you're allowed to kill him. If you're not sure one way or the other, then you're not allowed to kill him. Can you read us? Then you have another braisa that says, "Im zorch Hashem Hashalav domim loy." The second braisa darshins the words "Im zorch Hashem Hashalav," where it belongs in the pasuk with the next pasuk. If zorch Hashem Hashalav, then domim loy, then there's blood guilt for killing him. In other words, that a person would be chayv misa for killing him. He's also to kill him. Well, chayv after all, whatever. The point is, he'd be also to kill him.
So that you don't figure out.
Yeah, okay. If it's a case, so the question is again: the sun shines only on him. Ella, if it's as clear to you as daylight that he is at peace with you and that he definitely will not kill you, then you're not allowed to kill him. And if not, then kill him. The question is kasha stama stama. So you have two stands, two braises that contradict each other. What is it? If you're not, so if we say the first braisa is saying if you're absolutely sure that he's ready to kill, then go ahead and kill him. But if not, if you have a sloppy, then you can. The second braisa is saying if you're absolutely sure he's at peace with you and won't kill you, then you can't kill him. In other words, if there's a sloppy, if you're not sure one way or the other, you could. So what do you do with the scam? What do you do if you're not sure one way or the other? If you're not sure, you're not absolutely sure that he's gonna kill, that he's ready to kill. You're not absolutely sure that he's not ready to kill. What do you do? So it's like Kasha. One case is talking about if a father is breaking into his son's house. So then, even if you have a suffix, the son should not kill him, because we can assume the father has rachmanus on his son. So the son may try to prevent his father from taking his stuff, but the father is not going to go to the extent of killing his son. So therefore, unless you know for sure that this particular father is an actor and Taka is ready to kill, then don't. That's the first thing. As opposed to Kanda Ben Alaam, the second braisa is talking about the son breaking into his father's house, or anybody else breaking into anybody else's house. There, the default assumption is he's ready to kill. A son doesn't have as much rachmanus on the father, or the father does on the son.
Kibudav,
very nice, but it's not the same thing. By nature, a father has more rachmanus, a parent has more rachmanus on his children than the other way around. You know, they have the famous expression that one parent can support 10 children, or 10 children can't support one parent. Somebody says a vort on it. Why is that? So it's all the way back to Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava had children. They didn't have parents. Therefore, it became embedded in human nature that you have rachmanos on your children, but your children don't have as much rachmanos on the parents because Adam and Chava didn't have that embedded in themselves. Okay. Anyway, so then the default assumption is that he's ready to kill if you stand up against him. So then go ahead and kill him unless you know for sure that this particular, unless you, the father, know that this particular son is definitely not going to kill you.
That
clarifies the contradiction between the braises. Omer Rav, so Rav gives an example. Kol da'osi imoy machtarta, if anybody were to come against me in a machtarat, katil malay, I would kill him. Levi would have come in about Shiva, except they've come in about Shiva. The question is, why not? My time. Elema Mashiach Tzadik, what are you going to say? Because they've come in about Shiva Tzadik, and Hazar Tzadik, what do you mean? Coming in about Tzadik is not much of a Tzadik. Rav is saying, I know for a fact that the Chamin of Ashura loves me and has a chmanas on me as much as a father does on a child, and therefore there's no, I can strongly assume he's not coming with intent to kill.
Why is coming
to Machteris? Because he's desperate and needs money or whatever, but not to the extent. If Rav were to stand up against him, he would run away. He wouldn't try to. The pasuk says, Domin Wari. The pasuk says in the first case in Machteris, that you kill him, Don Roy, the second case, you're sure that he's not coming back. You're sure that there's no dangerous situation. And by the way, I mean, the Gemara is saying over here, Avol, Ben Al Avol, whatever. There are other explanations among the Poshim. The Raivad actually says, the Raivad on Rambam says over there, the fact is, since the Torah uses the word Zorcha Hashemesh Avol, why is the Torah phrase it that way instead of saying if you know for sure one way or the other? So the Raivad says it actually means if the guy is breaking in by day, you're not allowed to kill him. Why? Because by day, other people are around. He would be afraid to kill in that case. He knows there are other people around who would see him. Not shame him. It's by night. He figures he can get away with it.
It would also, actually, by day means not scared, like whether the robbers come. If they pick up the robbers, one is
coming. A goblin,
right. They come to this room, not scared anything. They're not scared anything.
Yeah, but he's not going to go, that's as far as stealing.
That's not necessarily as far as killing. He'd be afraid that stealing may know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, he says, killing, you know, if there's people around, they'll be taking the bait and get him executed. Therefore, if he does it by day,
we can assume that Ivan says that he's not coming with intent to kill because he'd be afraid of getting caught himself.
Well, he's showing himself.
He's showing himself, okay, so he's ready to steal, he's ready to take money, he's ready to have to repay, but he'd still be afraid of getting killed. All right, so the pasuk says, Domim Loi, that in the second case of Zorcha Hashem Shalom, where you're not allowed to, one way or another, you're not allowed to kill him, that means Ben Bechel, Ben Beshabbos, that means whether on weekday or on Shabbos. We'll see in the Domim, in the plural, meaning that you're not allowed to kill him on weekdays or on Shabbos. On the other hand, Ein Lo Domim, in the first case, where he's Baba Machteret, and you have reasons.
Because that's not right.
Okay.
That is person's soul learning. Okay?
Okay, my husband can become so. Good call, okay?
Okay.
Much is. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next. Ein Lo Domim also means Ben Bechor Ben Beshabbos. In the case where you're allowed to kill him, that way where there's no blood guilt for killing him also applies whether on weekday or on Shabbos. So what's the chiddush? Bishlema ein lo dom and ben b'chol ben Shabbos itzurich. Of course, we need the second case in the Braita to tell us that you'd be allowed to kill him even on Shabbos. Sakrat hamina, because you would think to say needed to have the arugi based in, because you would think maybe the case of killing this baba machteret is similar to based in executing a person de Shabbos like a flinin. We know based in doesn't execute a person on Shabbos. Maybe you're not allowed to kill the baba machteret on Shabbos. Kamash malan de kaplinin. Therefore, the chiddush would have to be that nevertheless you're allowed to. By the way, it's interesting though. The Magen Avraham brings on Shulchan Aruch from the Alter Rebbe Paskins accordingly that it depends really. If it's Rabin being threatened, then we know you go even obviously get kept in the cash, the famous thing that I've always quoted in the Shlemus Aruch, that even if they're coming to steal and you swore on, hey, you're Makal Shabbos to prevent them. But the Magen Avraham says, and the Alter Rebbe brings, that if it's a Yochid who's being threatened by a Ganev, yes, go ahead and give him what he wants rather than being Makal Shabbos.
By
killing him or otherwise standing up to him. So how does that fit with our Gemara? The Achronim have a very hard time understanding how exactly that fits. One of Balabatha's answers is it depends. If you know for sure that if you have reason to know that Taka, you give him whatever he wants, he's Taka not going to kill, then that's the case Magen Avraham is talking about. If you have reason to think that he might take what he wants and kill, well then, yeah, go ahead. Then you're allowed to kill him, even on Shabbos, is what our Gemara is saying. El Abdomim Loi Ben Bechor Ben Shabbos, but you have to ask when it says that you're in the case where you're not allowed to kill him, that applies even on weekdays or on Shabbos. Hashta Bechor Loi Kaplinim Loi Shabbos. Oh yeah, if you're not even allowed to kill him on weekday, why should we think you're allowed to kill him on Shabbos? Amar Rav Sheshes, La Nitzucha El Apakeach Al Avat Agal. So Rav Sheshes says, you're right. The Chiddush is not that you're not allowed to kill him on Shabbos. The Chiddush is, let's say, a heap of stones collapsed on him. While he's digging this tunnel into the house, the tunnel collapses on him, and now he's in danger. So if it's a case where you wouldn't have been allowed to kill him, for example, father breaking into his son's house, then you are obligated to save him on Shabbos.
Even though we're involved in Shabbos, because to save his life. Because then, on the other hand, if it's a case where in my dominant case, of one stamp person breaking into somebody else's house with a ball of water is allowed to kill him. If
the rocks and then dirt and whatever fall on him on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to take him out. Well, he's not dead yet. He's not the first. So it's interesting, the acronym, Chalkus Yoyer, some of the other acronyms bring up a strong question. Once the guy is trapped there under the pile of rocks, he's not a roedif anymore. He's not going to be in a position to be able to harm you anymore. So the Meiri Taka makes that distinction. Let's say we know if we have reason to think that even after he gets out of there, he might still be dangerous again, we're talking about, as opposed to if we know that he's incapacitated and he's not going to be able to, then sure, then even if he was Baba Machteres, you would have to. You'd have to be Machteres. It's like this. We know the game with Baba Machteres is once the guy is leaving, then you're not allowed to kill him. You remember, Mustama, you and I are old enough to remember the Brunard Getz case back in the mid-'80s. This guy shot a couple of guys who were going to mug him on the subway. So what happened, the issue over there was that he pulled out his gun and they were running away. And then he shot one of them in the back or something. So the concept of Baba Machteres, the concept of Droidif is if the guy is still a danger, if he's running away, he's not a danger anymore. So in that case, Al-Fiyal, he wouldn't have been justified in doing that. So by the same logic over here, once the guy is already trapped under the pile of stone, if it's a case where Taka now he's hurt and he's not going to be able to be a roedif anymore, why shouldn't you unbury him? Lahuda, you should, because now he's not a roedif anymore. Same idea is once he's running away, you have no right to kill him anymore. So one answer, yeah, is it depends, Taka, whether he's still capable of killing or not. But they give other answers as well. One of them is that he brought it on himself. It's almost like the equivalent of committing suicide. He's the one who brought it on himself by tunneling in. So therefore, you're not responsible for him. A couple of other answers that I heard him give to differentiate why Taka you shouldn't. Okay. Turn it on. The pasuk says Rehuka. The pasuk says that the Dano, the one who's breaking in, Rehuka, he is struck. It's a passive lashon, meaning b'chol adam, meaning anybody can do it. It doesn't just have to be the balabas himself is allowed to kill him. Anybody else who happens to be there is also allowed to kill him. And umes means b'chol misa shati yochol ha-misa. It says umes, or v'mes, actually, it means you can kill him with any possible misa. You don't have to do, for example, sayin. So the Gemara says, "Bishlem of a hook of a whole lot of istrich." I can understand why we need to be told that anybody is allowed to do it, because you would think, "Sakdat hamina balabayis who dekim lahu de'ain not a mamenat mamamoyne." You would think that the balabas, as we said on Amar Aleph, the Torah knows that a person is not going to hold himself back and let his money be taken. Therefore, and therefore he's going to stand up for it, and therefore the ganav comes with intent to kill the balabas if the balabas stands up against him. But you would think if somebody else, a bystander, maybe is not allowed to kill him. The chiddush is that no, we consider him a roedif. Even somebody else is allowed to get involved and kill him.
But it depends also if it's a household or if it's just a stranger on the street who's next to neighbor.
No, well, machteres, again, we're talking about over here, whether we're talking about he's breaking into the house, where we know that in general, unless it's an avalapen or whatever, we know that he's coming with intent to kill.
That's the person is worried about his money, but if it's a family member, also will probably be worried about
the money. Maybe, okay, but the point is, even if it was a stranger, a guest in the house or whatever. So therefore we need that chiddush. Kamash on the roedif uvafilo achanami, the chiddush is therefore that he's considered a roedif, and even somebody else is allowed to get involved. Ella vomes, when the pasuk continues, and he will die, and he said, so it means that you can kill him with any possible mitzvah. Normally, what do you need that pasuk? Meritzeach now. So you should be able to learn it from the case of Ritzeach. The Tanya, namely, we learn in a brisa, we had it earlier in the sector. Most yumas hamaka Ritzeach, when the pasuk says the one who strikes and kills somebody else shall be put to death, he is a Ritzeach. Namely, Ella vomesah hamurva, you would only know if you didn't have the extra words in the pasuk, you would think that he could only be killed with the appropriate mitzvah. But wait. How do we know if you're not able to kill him with the appropriate mitzvah, that you are able to kill him with any other mitzvah? Therefore, it says most you must, meaning regardless.
So therefore, we should learn from that the same thing over here. The answer is shiny hosam, damakro mois yumas. That's the difference. There, the pasuk specifically says mois yumas. You can't necessarily learn from there to everywhere else. No, so we're not necessarily talking about Beis Din, by the way. We're talking about, first of all, then you have a case where there was already Gmar Din, where they already there, they did the Gmar Din. He's supposed to be getting headache, and then he ran away. Then at that point, they can kill him with any other mitzvah. But even before Gmar Din, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, you have the case of Goyal Adam, who's allowed to kill the Reseach.
Never feeling break in the house.
That's the question. Why do we need to learn that? Why do we need an extra pasuk for that? Lachora, we should say if that didn't apply to a Ritzeach, it applies across the board. So we're saying no, because why did it say after pasuk specifically is mois yumos? By the balmas teres, it doesn't say that. So the question is benigma mene, nu, why don't we do a binyan hab and say it applies to a retzeach, it applies to any other person in society. The answer is mishum dehab retzeach goril adam, shnei ksum, according to Kafa, because the retzeach and goril adam, where the pasuk also tells us that the goril adam is allowed to kill the retzeach in any way that it can. Shnei ksum, according to Kafa, the two psukim teaching us the same din, b'chol shnei ksum, according to Kafa, then allowed them, and we have the same din repeated in two dots by two different dinings. We don't learn from it from everywhere else, because again, if it meant to learn from it from other places, it would have said one time, it would have said either by retzeach or goril adam, and we would learn all of the tithing. It means specifically those two and no other. So therefore, it doesn't apply to a Rav Lachter, except for the fact that the prophet specifically says, oh,
that's why
I'm saying that. That's what the prophet says, Machteres, the Ganem is tunneling in, any yellow Machteres, you would only know from that, but it means that if he's tunneling into the house. Gagas Chatzeres got paid for the night. How do you know the same thing applies if the Ganem is breaking into the guy's roof, or his chotzer, or his enclosed area? Therefore, the prophet says the Ganem is found, meaning regardless, he's found on your property, you're allowed to kill him. In Kain, by Machteres, so then why did it say Machteres? And since you don't know from the Tzuyim of Machteres, because most Ganem come in that way, it's the usual thing, so they're turned out already to that, but the Torah talks about the common situation.
I think the difference is it's Machteres,
that's the next one, right? So that's the next one. Tanya Enoch, then we have another. You learned this though on the bus this time, but he's last couple of days.
No, this I didn't hear, but someone maybe way back.
Okay.
Terrace is with a different. He's coming to kill with
him. That's the next thing. Yeah, we're going to say.
Remember someone. Yeah.
Tanya Enoch, we learn in another place, the Machteres, any other Machteres. Again, you would think the possibly only Dagger is coming in. Dagger is a Terrace that pays me nine. Tamalan, you must not damn him. Same thing. But this place is taken. In that case, why did it say Machteres? Because Machteres is doing the Hatsu Asa. The very fact that he's tunneling in shows that itself amounts to his Hatsu Asa. You don't need any other Hatsu Asa. The fact that the guy is coming with intent to kill, that's it. He obviously intends that the boss stands up against me, I'm going to kill him. He's a lawyer, so that's it. On the other hand, he comes into the cluster or the gag or whatever. He walks in through the door over there onto the roof. Yes, you're going to try to prevent him, but you still need to give him asura because maybe just there was an open door. He found a way. He found an easy way to steal. You're not necessarily coming out with skin of property. You're not necessarily coming with intent. If the guy stands up against me, I'm gonna kill. So that's the point, in other words. So if he's doing the Machteres, you don't need any other Hasra. If he's coming in through the door or the roof or what have you, then you need Hasra. Okay. I'm going to cotton hadrojif. If you have a cotton who's chasing after somebody, and by the way, Rashi uses the expression of a Yehuda, he's chasing after another cotton to kill him. Some Achorinim want to say that it means that he's chasing after a gobble, it wouldn't apply because realistically he's not going to be able to kill him anyway. He's probably just playing around. Others say a lot out there. Just the Derech and the Derech is that a cotton run is chasing after a cotton. If it were to happen after a gobble, the same thing would apply. Anyway, the point is the cotton himself is the cotton himself is not bar oinshin. He's not old enough to be punished by basting yet, for example. He's also not old enough to receive hasra. Nevertheless, the Rabbuna says, Nitzim la'hasila b'nafshah. Nevertheless, you can save him with his life. By the way, when we say Nitzim la'hasila b'nafshah, there's two different explanations among the Rishonim what it means. Does it mean we're saving the person doing the Aveira, we're saving the Roidit from doing the Aveira by killing him? Or does it mean we're saving the person he's chasing after from being killed or being harmed or whatever? It makes a difference in some of the things.
It's a way of killing him because you don't run for adventure.
That's different. That's our shame story. Yeah, but here when we say that we're killing the roidif for the Baba Machteres, Nitzim Hatzila B'Nafshei is the primary thing that we're saying that we're saving the guy from doing the Aveda, even though it's at the cost of his life, or is the primary thing that we're saving the Mirza, the one who's being pursued, that we're saving his life. So what I'm saying, cut Nitzim Hatzila B'Nafshei. Kosova Roidif ain't Tzara Hasra. Evidently, that means Rahuna holds a Roidif is not in Tzara, Loishna Gadol, Loishna Kotten. Therefore, there's no difference in a Gadol and a Kotten.
If you said you need an after all, a cousin does not take more than he doesn't have to after, you can't expect the after all himself. And then you say, you can't. Since your opponent holds that a cousin doesn't need an after all, therefore that means you can kill him as well.
Or really just by definition, is he has intent to kill, yeah.
Okay, a spirit of Chris Devona, however, if Chris says, I'm a spirit to you, from a Mishnah in Olive, that says, the Mishnah describes over there, if you have a woman who's having a difficult labor and there's danger that she's going to die during childbirth, then you're allowed to perform an emergency abortion. But on the other hand, the Mishnah continues, once the head of the baby comes out, or the if most of the baby comes out, it's huge birth, ain't no you can now I'll have to touch it, you now I'll have to kill the baby. Look, he's saying, don't think that between them, so you can't push aside one life in favor of another. The question is, am I a roider? But if the kid on the face of it is a roider, he's going to kill his mother.
And also,
there's
a chance
he
won't live anyway.
Well, once he's born, well, no, that's neither here nor there. That's true, but irrelevant. The fact is that most babies who are born do survive the first 30 days. So, before he's born, the point is he's not really fully considered a nephesh. So therefore, you can argue, in other words, before he's born, then you're doing an abortion, you're doing it in order to save the mother. Fine, you're taking something which is not yet a life in order to save an actual life, the mother. On the other hand, after the baby's born, then we're saying, yeah, that in both nephesh, but if kids consider a roidus, then why not? If we're saying that you're allowed to kill a cotton with a roidus. The answer is shiny husband the Mishmaya Kodatila. The difference is that it's not the child himself who's doing it, it's Minashamayim. The child is sort of the vehicle for it happening. Yes. It's a natural part of things. A childbirth is dangerous and that the mother can die in childbirth. So once the baby is born, the head has come out and it's considered born Mahalakha, then that's it. So then at that point if he was doing it deliberately as a total roida, fine. But in this case, he's not doing it deliberately, and he's b'chlal not doing it. It's all part of a natural process. Fine. Name a Messiah. Can we say, on the other hand, that we can support, that we can prove what Rav Huna is saying about cotton from a case as follows? But I say, if you have a person pursuing somebody else intending to kill him, one of the aides says to him, the aid, she's slow. So pay attention. This guy is a yid, meaning you're going to be hiding this dirty to him, or ben britu, and he's a ben brit, meaning he's not a mummer, he's not a shuvah. Batur to omra, straight to sama, other bottom, gum, yashata. And the Torah says that one is still man's blood, his blood will be spilled by man, meaning besides that it means he can be executed by basin. On the Torah, hassel, dumma, and shalzeb, dumma, shalzeb. The Torah is saying, save this one person's blood, his life, even at the cost of the other person's life.
Not by mother and baby.
We're talking about a regular case of roid. The point of the question is that you see over here, Lakota, that the Braisa doesn't say anything about the roid accepting that hasra. We know normally by Kaiva Mississippi, as we talked about earlier in the chapter, you need hasra, and the guy needs to say, yes, and I'm going to do it anyway. I'm not kidding. I know that I'm going to be Kaiva Mississippi, but I'm doing it anyway. Here, the Braisa doesn't mention any such thing, implying that you don't need full Hasra. So according to the Hona, we understand, according to the Chista, who's arguing that you should need Hasra, and therefore you can't do it by a cotton, then it shouldn't work. But that's the point. This Braisa should support what the Hona is saying. The same principle as the saying that the Rodeus does not need to accept the Hasra, the same principle. We can say that a cotton, you're able to kill it because you don't have to accept the Hasra. The answer is no, because I see your Yosef of Yehuda. No, because you can answer at that price says that's the point of Yosef of Yehuda. You can your Yosef of Yehuda and a chover in Tzara Hasra. He says that if the guy is doing the Avera as a chover, you don't need to do Hasra. The whole purpose of Hasra is to tell us if the guy is Shrevi or Mazen, and if he's a chover, he knows perfectly well that's wrong. So therefore, the Yosef of Yehuda says that even by the cases where Beis Din is going to execute somebody, you don't necessarily need Hasra. So therefore, when it comes to a roid, and therefore with an Amar Oretz, he also holds. Therefore, an Amar Oretz, yes, you have to tell him, but the guy doesn't have to be the Kabbalah. The Halacha is the guy from the Kabbalah say, I'm an Aftek. The Halacha is if he just shakes his head, if he just nods his head, for example, then it doesn't work. But according to the Yehuda, it would work.
You told him. He's maybe an Amorite, but you told him. Now he knows the law. He goes ahead and does it. He's kind of missed it. Same law coming here.
Someone who knows it, but the law is not necessarily another week. They just do it.
That's fine. And the Abishu will deal with it. You could, conceivably, an Amorite could also get away with it. You're not to say. To say I'm a Nasa, I mean, I'm a Nasa Cain is an unusual thing for a person to say, but nevertheless, it could happen. I know I'm going to be hiding this for this, but I'm doing it anyway. Yeah. But anyway, Rabbi Yisrael doesn't hold with that whole concept. So according to him, it would be enough to give the Roy de Pastra without the Roy de Pastra. Mavdav, that would be the case. According to the Chachamim. Okay, Toshma, another bright, says Roy de Pastra, Roy de Pastra, if you have a Roy de chasing somebody else, Omaloy, and he says to him, Reishin, Stroll, who will bend his suit. Keep in mind, this guy that he is in the bend his suit. That turtle on the shape of some other bottom dummy shepherd, and the blight of the team on the day I'm sure came Potter. Only if the guy says, if the guy says, I know that that's the case, he's still Potter, because he didn't yet say, only if he's on the napkin, and he owes the hive. Only if he says, I'm doing it knowing that I'm in the hive mission. If he just says, I know, that's not enough. He has to actually say, I am accepting on myself a few mission, and I'm still doing it anyway. So then, and only then, so a quarter then that shows you do need full-fledged Hasra. So what is the corner saying that a cotton, you can, the cotton loader if you can fill, and you don't need Hasra? The answer is, like, Tzrucha declared the trade every dinara. Yes, but the second guy says, talking about a case where the loader and the nirdif are on an opposite side of the river than the aid. So the aid is not going to be able to save the nirdif anyway. He's not in a position to save him. They'll cross the river from each other. So the only thing he can do is yell across the Hasra to him to make him chayav miss his face. Well, I'm not the Yamtuba, he's not going to be able to save him. My Ita, the body, what's the only thing that can be done at this point? As Isuri Levadina, all you can do is wait until he actually kills him, because you have no way of saving the Nudim at this point. And afterwards, you're going to have to do him the basin. Well, sure, they did a body after all. Sure, the basin needs after all, no question about that. So therefore, the Braise is spelling out that he needs to say the after all, and he needs to say on the napkin and the oath in order for the agent to be able to bring him the basin. Lobbed after the blight, and we're talking about a case where they're on the same side of the river, where you're able to kill the roider to prevent him from killing the nirda, not necessarily would you have to give him up to us. Or another possibility, on the Makarakona, another possibility, Ravuna can answer, another on the Katana de Makta. That's the Makarakona, we ask all of it. Ravuna can say, we said before that we had a Bryce that said that once the guy is doing the Machteris, that itself, and we have a Chazaka that he's a Roidus, he doesn't need Yasra. I hold like that Bryce. Which there, by the way, again, when you say Nitin Mahatsula Benat, well, so when you say Nitin Mahatsula Benatri, the question is also, as far as the Roidus, the question is also, with the Bava Machteris and the Roidus, besides the question before of what Nitin Mahatsula Benatri mean, are you mainly looking out for the guy's Neshama, that he shouldn't do this Avera, or are you mainly looking out for the Nirda? The question is also, does the factor of Oynish, of punishment, for the guy come into play? So these various opinions and these various rights over here can also be arguing on that point. If the primary purpose of killing the roidim is a punishment for him, then it needs Hasra. On the other hand, if it's because Nitim Asilu Benapshe, if it's in order to prevent him from doing the Avera, or to prevent the Nirda from getting killed, maybe you shouldn't need Hasra. So the actual halacha is that you don't need, the actual halacha is you don't need Hasra in a case of a roidim for Baba Asa. Yeah.
The following cases are the ones who are saved at the cost of their life. You know, by the way, after you say Shematzil Noisan and Aveda, you save the person from doing the Aveda, so obviously that's...
You understand, Shematzil Noisan means that you save the Roidif from doing the Aveda. Now, it's not talking about saving the Nirdif, it's talking about saving the Roidif. Tosfos talks about, but not necessarily. Tosfos talks about later on that for example, a mission is going to talk about a case of Roy de Bacha of
Tosfos discusses based on later in the Mishnah.
Yeah, you have, for example, later on in the case in the Mishnah, Roy de Bacha Behema. Person is Roy de Bacha an animal to do Revia with this. You can't say you're doing it in order to save the ant. You can't ask the question, are you going to be killing the guy in order to save the Behema from doing an Aveda? The Behema's not doing an Aveda. However, Tosfos says, nevertheless, there are apparently going to be cases in the Gemara over here where we're going to use the word Shmatzil and Oseh Benafshan to mean that we're trying to save the Nirda, that the point is to save the Nirda, to save the one who's being
chased.
Yeah. Okay. So there it's called.
First of all, somebody who's chasing after somebody to kill him, like the previous Mishnah and Gemara. Also, if somebody is chasing after a Zohar to do Mishkav Zohar with him, or Naira Amayrasa, all those you kill the Roidus. Aval a Roidus Acha Behema, but if somebody is chasing after a Behema to do Sheikhan Behema with it, Vamachal also Shabbos, if somebody is going and running to break Shabbos for Ovid Avedis Chavim or to worship Ovid Zohar, Ein Matzil Nais and Menachshin, you don't save them at the cost of their own lives, they'll do the Avera and then you'll bring them to Beis Din and get them dealt with. Where do we know this concept that if a person is roi defach chaver to kill him, that you're allowed to save him at the cost of his own life? The pasuk says, "Don't stand idly by on your friend's blood." So therefore, you're obligated to save. It's all your life. Question is, you're telling me the words like "samen al damre echa" come and teach us that in? We need those words for what it says in a different place. How do we know that if you see somebody else drowning in the river, or an animal is dragging him away to kill him, or robbers are about to attack him, how do we know in all those cases you're chayav to save the guy? So where do we have it available to learn the concept that you can kill the roidus? Maybe it just means you're obligated to save the nirgif if you can, but not necessarily by killing the roidus. Yes, you're right that you tack and learn the tack and learn from Laisam and Adam Re'echa. You learn from you only learn that you can save the Nirgaf. You don't learn from that to kill the Roidif. The Elam Nitzim Akhtil of Anapshim and Olam. So where do we know that you're allowed to kill the Roidif and save him from doing the Avera? After the Kavachomer, Minayra Mayrosa. We can learn it by a Kavachomer from the case of Naira Mayrosa. Which now by Naira Mayrosa, the Gemara is going to say in a little bit how we know that you're allowed that you have to try to save her in whatever way possible. Once we learn that, as we're going to see through the Limud, then we can learn by a Kavah Chomer. The same thing applies to Eretz. Ma Naira Mayrosa shalibah lepoyma. Madach with a Naira Mayrosa, where the only thing the guy is going to accomplish if he ends up being mizanim with her, he's going to be poygim her to her husband. And yet Omer Torah nita matzil benafshe, and the Torah still says you can save her at the cost of his life. So here we have an example, by the way, of Shemat Latzil love benafshe. So we see the primary thing is to save her, not so much to save him from doing the avera. Anyway, roi defach aver lahove alachas kama v'kama. How much more so if somebody's coming to kill somebody else? The problem with that is how can you punish somebody based on a kavah chomer? We know in general that you need a stronger limud than that, because a kavah chomer, anybody can be done. What if later on you slug up the kavah chomer and then it turns out you killed the guy for nothing? So how can you learn that guy? It doesn't work. What?
That killing another person trying to
kill another to kill a person on the basis of kavah chomer. You can't
but someone running after someone else and doing kavah chomer, then you can get like
we're gonna see. Now we're gonna say there's an actual limud, but now kavah chomer doesn't work for that purpose. All we had was a kavah chomer from Naira Mayrosa, so that would be a strong enough thing. So the very Rebbe Tana, so in the yeshiva of Rebbe they taught a price. Hekesh. It's not a kavah chomer between Ritzeach and Naira Mayrosa, but rather it's a hekesh. And a hekesh is a stronger thing. A hekesh you need to have gotten from your Rebbe. Therefore, it's stronger than a kavah chomer. You can't slug it up immediately. The pasuk says, in the case of Naira Mayrosa, it says, "Pi kasha yokum isha re'el ritzochen nafesh." The pasuk says, just as it is, if a person stands up against somebody else and kills him, the pasuk is kein adav razeh. It's the same thing over here. So the question is,
to save
the Naira Mayrosa. The context over there, okay, the pasuk is saying like this. The pasuk is saying, you kill the rapist, but you don't do anything for the Naira Mayrosa because
she's going to kill
you. Yeah. But the pasuk doesn't say Naira Mayrosa. It continues with a mashal. Ki kasha yokum ishara eir tzachin nafesh, just as it would be if a person stands up against somebody else and kills them. Kena dabra azeh, so it is in this situation. So what is that coming to add? We know she's potter from Misa. Misa's based in that is. So what do we need to add? The analogy to the Ritzeah. What does that add? So what are we learning now from a Ritzeach that needs to mention this analogy in the Pasuk? What it turns out is, we would think, based on the wording in the Pasuk, that the Torah is trying to teach us something based on the concept of Ritzeach. Instead, what happens is, we end up learning out something about the Ritzeach from the Naira HaMayrosa. Namely, Ma Naira HaMayrosa Nitzim HaPtilabana. So just as with a Naira HaMayrosa, you can save her by killing the Roidif, if necessary. After Ritzeach, Nitzim HaPtilabana. The same thing with Ritzeach, the same din would apply. So here the Ritzeach is coming into the Pasuk. You think that the Pasuk is coming to tell us something that you didn't know before. You should know. Treat a Naira Mairasa like the victim of a Ritzeach and don't punish her. But now we're saying the opposite. We say from Naira Mairasa, from the Jinn that we say there by Naira Mairasa, we learn something about Ritzeach. Tosfos actually talks about it. We learn it in both directions, actually. We're gonna learn later on in the Sugya. We're gonna learn there is something we learn in the other direction also. The concept of Yehoreg Val Yavar. That we learn from Ritzeach to Naira Mairasa. But the point is, it goes in both directions. Okay, the Naira Mairasa Gufa Minola, the Naira Mairasa herself, how do we know that you're allowed to save that you save her by killing the Ritzeach? And by the way, in all of this, it's not really so much you're allowed to. You have to, unless you have a way of preventing the guy, the Echa Meivara. If you have other ways, if you can scare him off, if you can wound him in a limb and prevent him from doing it, whatever, then you're obligated to do that. But if the only way to do it is to kill him, then you kill him. So, Naira Mairasa Gufa Minola, and how do we know that concept applies by the Naira Mairasa herself, that Nitin Matzilman, actually? This is Kedetanat Vei Rabbi Shmuel. This is like what they learned in Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel.
From the Pasuk, Kashiyak, now the Pasuk we're looking for by Mairasa, she's in the field, there's a lot of killing that you can't learn from that Pasuk.
That's what we're going to learn from that Pasuk. The Pasuk says that it's in the field, meaning therefore we have to assume that it was non-consensual because Saka, she yelled out, and the Pasuk says, Ein Mashiach, the Pasuk says nobody saved her, which implies, Hayesh Mashiach, but if there is anybody available to save her, then whatever it takes to save her, you need to do to save her. So therefore that's where we learn the concept that you kill the Roydeh if that's what's necessary in order to save her. And once we have it by Naira Mairasa from the words Ein Mashiach, then we can learn from that. To other cases as well. But we can learn from that to Ritzeach as well. But since the Pasuk puts Ritzeach and Naira Mairasa in the same Pasuk and makes a hekesh between them, then we learn the same thing by Ritzeach, that you can kill the Roydeh. Not both ways. Here it's a one-way thing. We learn it by Naira Mairasa from Ve'im Mashiach, and from that we learn to Ritzeach.
Because
the Mashiach law implying that if anybody had been able to save her, they're obligated to.
The
same thing applies to her exactly. Gufa, the Gemara says, getting back to
we said, Minayim Baroya Kadesh Kadeh Benar, how do we know if you see somebody else drowning in a river?
A Chaya Garauta, or an animal is dragging him away, or listening by Nolav, or robbers are going to attack him, through Chaya Vatila, we said, how do we know you're Chaya to save him? Tamad Lamele Samal Adam Reacha, because the Apostle says, don't stand idly by your brother's blood. Question is, you're learning this concept from that pasuk. You have a different limud for that pasuk. Avedas gufay minayin. The Gemara says in Bava Kamma, we know that you chayav to return your friend's money, his possession. How do we know the same thing applies if his guf itself is going to be lost? That you're obligated to save his own guf. Therefore, the pasuk says you should return it to him. I mean, his own body. You return his own body, his own life to him. Yeah. So we learn it from that pasuk. What do you need? The answer is, Imei Hosim, if you only have the pasuk, Vashay Vaisiloi, Haba Minahani Mila Benakshe, you would think, fine, that means you personally are obligated to try and save him. Ava Mitrach, but to go to the Tircho, Megar Aguri, and hire workers, Emeloi, maybe not, the same thing as for Ashavas Aveda. You're not obligated to spend your own money on Ashavas Aveda. In fact, in Baba Matiya, in Ela Matiya, it talks about the case that if your time is more valuable than the lost object, then your time is not obligated to return it. Unless you make an agreement with the guy that he's going to reimburse you for your call. So you would think from the word time, you wouldn't know that you're obligated to hire people. Amalo, you would think not. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush from the Samad Adam Re'echa, you're even obligated to hire people in order to save them. And by the way, it's brought in halacha. The guy is obligated to pay you back, but nevertheless, if he does, even if you know he's not going to have the means to pay you back, you're still obligated to do it. You're still obligated to spend your own money on it. That's what Samuel Adam Rav. Turn it up on. Echad Roydeh Acha Chaver Lohorgei. Whether we're talking about a person chasing after somebody else to kill him, the Echa Zocher Acha Naira Meirasa, or a Zocher from Mishka Zocher, or Naira Meirasa, like we said in the Mishnah, the Acha Chayve Misses Basin, the Acha Chayve Krisis. Also, to add to the Mishnah, also if the one he's chasing after to rape, to be boiled, is somebody who there's a chiyuv karis, a chiyuv Mrs. Basin involved, chiyuv Mrs. Basin, a chiyuv karis, one of his own relatives, for example, or an Ashes Ish or whatever. All of those cases, not still an oisin ben akshay, all of them you save at the cost of his life. For example, on the other hand, on the kohen gadol grusha v'chalut the kohen chayit. On the other hand, if he's a kohen gadol and he's chasing after a matana, or he's a kohen head, yet he's a grusha v'chalut, ain't not still an oisin ben akshay. Then you do not save them at the cost of his life, because then that's not the level of thing, because it's only chayvi lot. So it's not chayvi krisis or misses faith. Furthermore, if the Avera already took place, then you also can't save her at the cost of his life. So if the guy already caught her and already did the Vila, then that's it. At that point, all you can do is take to the base. You can't kill him at that point, because the Pagama has already been accomplished. Yeshla Mashiach, if there's a way of saving her short of killing the guy, then you can't save her at the cost of his life. Because then do that other thing, scare him off, wound him in an arm or a leg or whatever. Rabbi Yehuda says another case. Also another case would be if she herself says to the people who are trying to save her, leave him alone, don't chase after him because she's afraid that he's going to kill her before they catch up to him. So you have. Reuven is chasing after Rachel. You have Shimon and Levi chasing after Reuven to try and stop him. And Rachel is afraid that before they have a chance to catch Reuven, Reuven himself is going to kill him. So she says, leave him alone. I don't want her to kill me. Now she's doing it to side of Onis. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda says, nevertheless, in that case, then you don't do Ein Matzil and Oisim and Apshel. Why not? That's what tomorrow we'll talk about on Omid Beis. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, and that the halacha is even if she says that, you still try to mafsil anoisim benafshei, you still try to kill him, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, not. Once she says, hanichol lo yishalei yavgena, then you leave well enough alone.
She's scared because she's scared of her own life.
No, well, she is scared of her own life, that's true, but the reason why, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, and the Gemara is going to say on Amud Beis, that the reason is, that basically it boils down to the question, what's the reason behind Mafil Noisim Ben Apshon? Is it that the main thing is you want to prevent the Pagam? Well, in that case, it doesn't matter whether she's Mafil Ben Apshon. Is going to happen, therefore you can do it. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a question of, is she herself ready to be Moisim Nefesh for the purpose? And the fact that she's saying Hanichol Oshalai Yagena shows that not. She's afraid for her life. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, if we see where she's willing to fight him off, even if it's going to cost her own life, and therefore she's not going to say, "Hamnichol lo shalai yagena," fine. Then in that case, since there are people available, they should fight him off. They should fight him and kill him, and then prevent her from ending up being killed or pogrom. But if she herself is willing to accept gam as long as it saves her life, then Rabbi Yehuda holds that the other people are not able to, at that point, that takes away the ability of the other people to kill him in order to save him.
A person holding a gun to you, so you don't take it because you don't want to get your skin, you're going to get shot.
Nevertheless, really, the point is Rabbi Yehuda holds only if she's willing to go on the Siddur Nefesh, only then do you say that it's a Siddur Nefesh. Okay. And the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda. So, Menahani, where do we know this whole concept? Where do we know that it applies only to these cases? Naira Mairasa Zhur, Naira Mairasa, killing Naira Mairasa Zhur, Christus and Mrs. Basin. Omakra, because the Pasuk says like this. The whole Pasuk says like this. V'lanara le sata dover. The Pasuk says to the Naira, to the young girl, don't do anything. Ein l'nara chet mother. The Naira has committed no sin that she should be chayav, that she should be chayav nisa. Now again, all those words are extra in the Pasuk. Because later on in the Pasuk, we see that the Pasuk says that you don't do anything to her, to talk of Ein Mashiach. So therefore, now you also, the word Naira, there's a kriyuk sibu there. In most places in the Torah, when it says the word Naira, it's usually spelt without the hay. There's one place in that same parasha, in Parashat Kisei, where it's spelt with a hay, where we learn from it that it applies after to a Naira, the Gemara explains the syllabus. But every other place in the Torah where it says the word Naira, it's always spelt without the hay. Nun ayin resh, and the kri is we read it with a comma under the resh, Naira. So therefore, Na'ar, that's true. So the word Na'ar, the ksiv, refers to a male. Naira is a Naira Mairasa. The Cree that we read at Naira refers to a Naira Mairasa. Where the positive continues, Chait means Elu Chayv Krisis. The word Chait means a case where it would be Chayv Kodesh. And Moves, Elu Chayv Mrs. Basin. And the word Moves comes to include Mrs. Basin. So those are the four cases of Agayas where you're allowed to, where you kill the guy in order to save the victim. And Ritzeach, as we said before, because of a hefesh. Okay. So the question is called Hanimali. Why does the Torah spell out all these? The answer is, why can't you learn one from the other? The answer is Tzricha. We need all of them. Because Rachmana Na'ar, because if the Torah only told us that it applies to a Na'ar, to a boy, you would say Mishum Blav Orcha. You would say, fine, come natural for a boy to be used in that way. Therefore, maybe the Torah says Nitzimatzila Benapshay, but maybe for a girl, Aval Naira De Orcha, as far as she's usually, she does have Bia, done to her. Okay, it's not normal in this case, but still, it's Amaloy, you would think maybe not, maybe it's not as much as we thought. Because Rachmana Naira, on the other hand, if it only wrote the Naira Mairasa, you would think, well, the difference is you're making her pagan, the gana of Rashi says. You're making her repulsive to her husband. Namely, Rashi says, if she was a Besula, if she was never married yet, fine. She may have a harder time finding a shidduch, but eventually she'll find some shidduch. You know, only with a kohen, it would be only if it was somebody who makes her puzzle, or mamzer, or polo, or what have you. If it was a regular Ben Yisrael, it wouldn't make her puzzle to her kohen, if she was unmarried. Yeah. So Rashi says on Amud Beis, like, if she's unmarried, okay, it'll make it harder for her to get a shidduch, but eventually she'll find somebody who's willing to accept her as is. So there's not as much of a pagan. If she's already married, she's already a bola. Again, there's not as much of a pagan. A naira hamayrosa, where when her husband is kedushin with her, she's still a psola. And now during that time, before he even had a chance to be with her, all of a sudden, so that it would be a gnai, he would be repulsed by her, and therefore maybe the Torah is, therefore we're saying the Torah is after maskid on that. Have a now, the like a bargain by, but a now, there's no particular God like that. Same law, you would think maybe not. Because of Rahman Hani, if the Torah only mentioned these two, you would say, Mishum Behai Lab Urche, who Behai Kapogin Law. Fine, in each case, you have some kind of unusual factor. Have a Shar Arias to Urchayu, but when it comes to other Arias, Christus and Mrs. Bastian, it's the usual, these are women, it's usual for them to be the recipients of here. The Lord Nafish Pigmayo, and there's no great Gam involved necessarily. Aim a law. No, it was an oyin. So it was a kohen, then not pack enough. If your husband was a kohen, but if it was a kohen, so yeah. But in any case, other arayas, if it's a sister, if it's a mother, or whatever, yeah. Aim a law, you would think maybe not. Kalt rachmona chet, therefore the pasuk has to write the word chet to mean chayve Christus. The kalt rachmona chet, but if it only said chet, have amen after the chayve lavin, then you would think it includes even, for example, the almona and the kohen gadol. Kalt rachmona moves, therefore the pasuk spells out that it means a chet that involves death. So therefore, it has to be that Krisus and Mrs. Bates. The Ikos Rachmon and Mavis, but on the other hand, if the Pasuk had only written Mavis without the word Chet, have Amin a Chayvin Mrs. Bates in A Chayvin Krisus Loy, then you would think it only means Mrs. Bates in not Chayvin Krisus. Ikos Rachmon and Chet, therefore, the Pasuk also had to write the word Chet to imply that it's both. Chet teaches us Chayvin Krisus, and Mavis teaches us Chayvin Mrs. Bates. Okay, the question is, fine, it just right. In that case, just say, don't use the word naira with the kriyuksiv of naira and naira. Just say, ein wa chet mavis, and therefore we end up both, which would be both, leboy naira and naira. Naira is included in mavis, because naira and naira are both included in mavis, because there's both an ishtu skila involved, there's both a kriyuk skila involved, so what do you need to mention them separately? Since it was ein ochanami, you're right, it didn't have to say naira and naira for that reason. We could have learned that from chet mavis. The Elam Nair Naira, so Taka, why does it say the Ksiv Nair and the Kri Naira? Chavim Urti Ovid Avedis Kachavim. One comes to be Mamayat, that, as we said in the Mishnah, if the guy's running to worship Avedis Zara, that you shouldn't try to kill him. You would think, as the Gemara is going to say later on in the Sugya, that you should learn from a Kava Choymer, from Arayas, that Madoch Arayas, you kill him, how much more so Avedis Zara, which is more serious. So you need one meal for that. V'chavim or to behemah v'shabbos. The other one teaches us that if the guy is running after a behemah or to do beer with it, or he's running to break Shabbos, then you also don't kill him. Now how are you mamayit three things from two? So Rashi says that actually it's true. We're not actually being mamayit Shabbos from this. We would learn Shabbos from Avodah Zarah, and if we're saying Avodah Zarah is out, then automatically Shabbos is out as well. So you really only have two miyotim, one for Behemah and one for Avodah Kochavim, and automatically Shabbos is excluded as well. Tosfos discusses it a little bit differently. Maybe we use one miyot for Avodah Zarah and Shabbos, which are both similar, and that you're denying the Eishes creation of the world, whatever, and the other one would be for Behemah. Question is, will the Shimon Yechoi be on the Ovid of a Kamut about this? Fine, what about according to the Shimon Yechoi later on in the Sugya? He says that if somebody is running to worship of his daughter, you can kill him to prevent him from doing that.
So someone to him, what are you saying to him? What do you need to do with now and Naira? The answer is fine. Have the motive to him. Have the motive to Shabbos. Fine. But even a point to him. You need one to tell us that that does not apply if he's going after the Hema. And the other one, he's not going to be in the Why do you need a meal to match the Shabbos? Stop that, because otherwise you would have thought.
Because
otherwise you would think you would make a greater shabbat from chilul, that the chilul shabbat versus by a vadazara it also uses the word chilul, so therefore you would think that you make a greater shabbat, and therefore you would say if it applies to vadazara it also applies to shabbat. So therefore that's why you need the word nar, and the word nar that the teacher could only apply to take the valah. Not of a desire for reasons that Hashem is going to say later, but not Shabbos and not that. Hey, what about the laws of Hashem and Dalam Chalos of Shabbos Mitzvah Machir? Right? What about the point of the laws of the son of Hashem? So he goes further than his father. The Omer, he says later in the Sugya that Machalos of Shabbos Mitzvah Machir ben Hashem, that yes, you can also prevent the Machalos of Shabbos from doing it and kill him by doing that. That would kill him to prevent him from doing it.
To ask your Shabbos Mechilu Mabedes Kachavim, because he makes a further, he taka makes that Zeru Shabbat of Chilu by Shabbos, and Chilu of Avodah Zarah. So he uses his father's limerick for Avodah Zarah, and he uses on top of that a limerick for Shabbos. Ma'ikul Me'emer, then what do you need two miyot according to him? The answer is Chad Miyot Ramot Behema. One is to teach us not a Behema. V'idach, and the other one, I did the Kosav Rachman and Nair, Kosav Nami Naira. Since the Pasuk had to use the word Nair, so it also uses the word Naira, because the context is, after all, talking about a Naira Mairosa. So therefore, once it had to mention Nair to include
Mishkav Zohar, then it also gave the Kriya as well, Nair, because the fact of the matter is, it is talking in context about Nair, but it's not meant as an extra loop. Maybe we can take a couple of minutes and do the next piece, and that way that we'll clarify what people are saying, and then maybe we can make you answer. Okay, so then question. Okay. Right. Okay, Rabbi Huda says that also the case where he says, leave him alone because I don't want her to kill me. And Rabbi Huda says in that case that you can't watch Silva now. So you can't kill him in order to save her. The mice is for you, what's the matter with this?
The case is, she is machbit, she doesn't want pgam, on the other hand, she's willing to allow it so that he doesn't kill her. So, Rabbanan Sabri Apigma Kapad Rahmana, so the Chachamim hold, the fact is, the Torah is machbit, that she shouldn't have the pgam, Bari Machbetis Apigma, she herself is machbit on it, she wants to prevent the pgam from happening, that's reason enough to kill the guy, to prevent her from having the pgam.
She wants the same thing, so when the pgam and the Torah is one involved, both.
Whereas Rabbi Huda says, "Hi, Dikam Rachmana Katli." Why does the Torah say kill the Roidus? Mishum the Masra Napshal Lekatala. Only because she herself might be willing to go to be killed. So therefore, in other words, the point of Rabbi Huda, the point is not to prevent the guy. The point of Rabbi Huda, the point is to prevent her from getting killed. And she might be a tsnua who's not willing to go along with him in order to save her life. She's willing to go on Masirut Nefesh. So therefore, the Torah is saying that you should kill him to save her life. But over here, she's not willing to be moitzeh nefesh. Her life is not in danger anyway because she's ready to submit to him and save her life. Therefore, Rabbi Huda says that's not. Therefore, you don't have. It's not doichin nefesh mitnei nefesh. You can't say that you're killing him in order to save her life because her life's not in danger anyway. By that logic, you could argue it's a matter of pgam. If a kohen gadol has relations with an amana, there's also a pgam because now he makes her also to ever marry any other kohen, because she becomes a halala by his bia. Amalei, so he answers, "Apigma rabba kapad rachmana, apigma zusa le kapad rachmana." The Torah is maxed out of big pgam, such as a naira merosa, as you said, of properly amalei. The Torah is not worried so much about a small pgam like this, where she's going to be also by a chiyuv lav. By she's going to be also by an itzulav to a koyin. That's not a big enough pagam that you should say.
Everybody else,
right? So therefore, she doesn't become. In other words, Rashi says the difference is like this. Arayas, it's not just the naira merosa where we said before that then her as an arusa now all of a sudden her husband is repulsed, etc. We're talking about Chrysis, who misses based in, you have the great Pagam involved. She becomes a Zoyna, so now she becomes a Zoyna as opposed to just a Halola. It wasn't her fault, but she's still considered a Zoyna in Halacha, as in she's also to marry a Kohen. And she's called by the word Zoyna. If a child is born from it, the child is Mamzer. So therefore, it's by anybody. If this guy who raped her, if he gets her pregnant, and she was Chayva Krisis, she was his sister, she was his mother, she was his daughter, or whatever, any of the other Chayva Krisis or Mrs. Bates, and she was an Eishes Ish, the child's going to be a Mamzer. And she's considered a Zoyna in Halacha. Mashenkin and Amono, Kohen Gadol, she becomes a Halala. Fine, Halala is not as bad as Zoyna. And then the kid wouldn't be a Mamzer, the kid would be a Halal. So therefore, some Torah is not makbid on that to say, to go to the extent that we should say that we should be able to kill the Roydif in order to save him.
Chol
means he's not a Kohen. His father was a Kohen, but his mother was possible for the Kohen. So fine, he's not a Kohen. And if he marries a Bat Yisrael, if he marries a relation with a Bat Yisrael, she becomes a Halala and she's also to marry a Kohen. But other than that, that's it. That's the whole thing of a Chol. But much less than a Mamzer. Yeah. Okay. All right.
It's good.
Shkayach. Thank you.